Space, the final frontier. Space Station Ashlyn sits on the edge of Federation space with its companion ship, the USS Delamis Christian. The space around them is full of mystery and strange wonders, where secrets are kept and danger lurks around every corner. The crew of the Delamis Christian must navigate treacherous waters as they work to protect the Federation. But as they peer into the unknown, they will discover that the line between friend and foe is not always clear. They will be tested like never before, and will face challenges that will push them to their limits. Join us on this adventure as we explore the farthest reaches of space and uncover the hidden truths that lie within the shadows. Tabletop Journeys presents Star Trek: Preservations. Welcome to episode 3 of Star Trek Preservations. Glad to go ahead and see the entirety of our crew together for the first time this season. Let's take a quick minute and go around the room just so that everyone is aware of who the players on the board are. Captain Tobor, you are the first one on my screen, so why don't you start?
Hi, everyone. I'm Joe Harney, and I am playing Captain Sabian Tobor, the Trill Commanding Officer of the USS Delamis Christian, a Saber-class Federation starship.
Excellent. Rila, you are next on my list.
Hi, I'm Lacey Knutson. I'm playing Narilla Nealon, and I am our science officer.
Mr. Najjar.
Glenn Myers, third host of Tabletop Journeys. I play Lieutenant Camdril Najjar. He is a half-betazoid, half-human chief security officer of the Delamis Christian. He's a young officer feeling pretty nervous in this post, but he's up for the challenge, he thinks.
All right, Mr. Ocean.
Hi, I'm Adam Scaramella, and I play Ocean Chilzeruzner. He is the Andorian first officer on the Delamis Christian.
I do love how everyone gets about halfway through your name, and then it just sounds like, Murr. And Mr. Tanari.
All right, I'm David Rideout. I'm playing Lieutenant Davidian Tanari, the chief engineer of the Delamis Christian, who has yet to blow the ship up.
Only by coincidence. The times that you have blown things up, the ship just hasn't been there. And the times that you have tried to blow up the ship, you have not succeeded. It's not really the same thing. So. Excellent. It's a pleasure to really be here. Again, my first time behind the screen this season. I think last time behind the screen was episode 8, I think, of last season. So I'm very excited for today's episode. Today's episode is called On the Far Side of the Sea. We are at Stardate 57660.52, which for our intrepid listeners and our players will note is about 2 weeks after the end of the last episode, roughly. Najjar, we're going to open with you this evening because you were away on an investigatory mission and are beginning tonight's episode with your rendezvous with the Delamis Christian. You had taken the Eagle shuttle and have just now landed in Shuttle Bay 2 on the Christians. Let us begin. Who is the welcoming party that decides to meet Mr. Najjar in the Shuttle Bay?
Joe, have you made it clear that you want to speak to him as soon as he gets back?
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, during this time, in fact, I'm sure Ocean and Sabian have had several conversations about everything that happened during the Epsilon incident in Transporter Room 2, and that Sabian definitely wants Najjar as soon as he's back on board.
If that's the case, then I will probably be down to meet Jar.
All right. So when Jar's shuttle arrives, the XO is in the shuttle bay. Before we begin the conversation here, Jar, I had sent you some information ahead of time, and you had sent some questions back and forth, and one of them being how you were going to arrive, specifically in terms of what's going to be in the shuttle. So would you, if there's anything unusual or anything that Ocean would take note of, you could let us know now.
Real quick, Josh.
Sure.
Actually, having remembered what the mission was, I would have actually sent him with the Nessie because it has the medical facilities,
perfect.
Right?
No worries at all. So he has the Nessie and not the Eagle. Okay.
Forgive me for needing to remember this. The breakthrough that our intrepid engineer and science officer came up with, that was to detect an infestation of somebody. What did you guys end up figuring out?
That was to detect the parasites, because apparently they had some sort of some subspace weirdness about them that makes them difficult to detect, so that we don't have to go around and be looking at the back of everyone's neck to see if they're infected.
Yeah. And Ocean, you'd know that you'd need to get run through the Epsilon protocol again, so you'd have security team there.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was actually going to... that's why I wanted to make sure that I was not speaking out of my butt on this.
But now you have the handy-dandy new tricorders.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Freshly painted on racing stripes.
So, Najar, so let's begin when the rear of the Nessie opens. What does the back of the shuttle look like? Is there anything unusual aboard?
So, as the back of the shuttlecraft is being offloaded, the only thing of any real note beyond the standard equipment that we may have taken with us anyway for detection and investigation of the planet for the parasites, I think, is what I was there for, the parasites, right?
Yeah, probably in general, like a general sense of investigation. You knew some things about the planet Tethys, but you were there investigating connection to the parasites. Yep.
So there's some scientific equipment too, and not just the security equipment. Science Officer Lieutenant Dorai is offloading some crates of samples that they brought back. And if any of it has glassed open tops or open windows or whatever in the little boxes to be able to see what's inside of them, it looks like evidence of ancient civilization, like you might find in an archaeological dig, with broken stone tablets and bits of tapestry and some instruments and tools made of bone and wood, something that might even be rudimentary medical equipment that they're offloading and bringing with them back to the science department.
So when the rear hatch opens, the first thing that you will see is Lieutenant Commander Ocean standing there. There are three security personnel with him. All three of the security personnel are carrying the heavier phase rifles. They're not pointing them at you. And Ocean has a very business look on his face. Very stern. One at a time, step out of the shuttle, please.
I would say Lieutenant Dorai probably looks a little taken aback. They're probably unfamiliar with this new protocol. This is probably transferred to the ship around the same time that Narilla did. They're somewhat taken aback by being greeted by such a strong security personnel. So, yeah.
Najar's eyes widen for a moment, but he doesn't lose his composure, and he says to the team that he's returning with, calm down. I expected there'd be some form of protocol to have to make sure that we are who we say we are.
Sure, yeah. Drops the crate.
So as they come through one by one, I will scan them with our new tricorder.
New tricorders, yeah.
And assuming that are we rolling on against that, or is that?
Yeah, but using a tricorder is like a zero difficulty challenge. Okay. Yeah, I'll give you one roll. How many people did you bring with you, Najar? Just you said a couple of. So it was you and the science officer, and maybe a couple of other like low level security.
Yeah, so we just had a hostile interaction. This investigation is related to it. So for the most part, it was a security-heavy team, but a science officer or two whose self-defense and phaser certifications were up to date.
Absolutely. So we'll say probably a half dozen people total, but one role to go ahead and operate the tricorders.
Yeah, and if I use control and science, I needed a 13, and I got one success on it.
Yeah, that's fine. So you gain a momentum because it was a zero difficulty challenge. Using a tricorder is not difficult for someone that is familiar with tricorders. Yeah. Okay, excellent.
As you're scanning me, Najar smiles and says, we got detection?
I don't answer you until all of the scans are complete.
Yep.
He would go last. He would send everyone else first.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
And nobody pings.
Once you've all cleared that, My reaction, the stern business face just recedes, and I give you a smile. Welcome back. Yeah, we do have methods to detect these creatures now.
Nice. Did Sonari crack it?
With the help of our new science officer, chief science officer, I'm rather impressed.
Oh, a new face.
Yep, we'll meet you. However, before you meet her, the captain has asked to speak to you in private.
Understood. I know at some point we'd have to debrief.
Yeah, is there anything here that needs to be secured?
No, we did not detect anything beyond these effectively ancient artifacts. There was no sign of current active civilization, no sign of the parasites. We didn't bring back anything hostile.
Oh, so sir, I would love to take these artifacts back to the science stations to begin examining them and see if we can figure out what's going on with them. Like, just it's a language we don't know. It's a civilization, a culture we don't understand. I'd love to go ahead and see what the computers can make of it.
So I will actually motion for one of the security officers to assist them with the offloading. The others will bring Tenari to wherever the captain is, and I will spend some time picking the brain of the lieutenant to find out what she's talking about.
Sure. Najjar, when you came up with Lieutenant Dorai, are they a pre-existing cast member, or did you have
We hadn't decided who my science officer was, so I named them on the spot. That's as far as I've gone.
Okay, fair enough. No worries. Okay, Najjar, you, I'm assuming, are escorted to the captain's quarters.
It's less of an escort and more of a...
He raises an eyebrow He raises his eyebrow as his own security guards fall in line behind him. And just as he's heading out of the room, he calls back to Lieutenant Dorai, "Don't let your excitement make you forget protocol. Make sure you follow all decontamination and quarantine procedures and keep us safe."
Of course, sir. Of course. And she'll stick around. Ocean, let's start with you as Najjar is on his way to go see Captain to be assigned to quarters. Yeah, Lieutenant Commander, sir, what information can I provide you? How can I be of assistance?
So what are we looking at here as far as you're saying that these are old artifacts? What brought them to your attention? You were there for a completely different purpose.
We were trying to investigate this species that we were talking about and that we had these run-ins, and these artifacts... We didn't find an awful lot there is the thing, but there is a civilization that was on Tethys hundreds of thousands of years ago, and these artifacts, they seem to tie to them. They start like gesturing at the crates and things like that. There's information about battles and their culture and information. There are instruments. They were a crude civilization, but I would love to go ahead and see what we can learn about them. We know that Tethys was important to these creatures. Understanding the species that they came into contact with may provide some clues as to, you know, why.
No theories as of yet.
I wish. It's in a language that I don't understand. Universal translators weren't any good. We needed more juice than we had there on the planet, which is why, after talking with Najjar, and we didn't want to disturb ancient, like, burial mounds or anything, but in the same token, we took some samples back, took some scans of some other things that were too big to go ahead and carry back on the Nessie, and trying to learn what we don't know. Tethys is very much a mystery at this point. We know that it's important, but we don't really know why, and so this is a avenue to go ahead and determine maybe if there's something else that we should be looking at, or what.
Were these artifacts found in conjunction with any current structures?
No, nothing modern. Whoever made these died well before today.
No, but no, any inhabitants or visitors to the planet weren't located near these.
Oh.
How did you come across them then?
Just going out into the woods and poking with a stick, sir, if I may be so colloquial.
Sometimes that's the best way. And as I help them, I will tell them a story of something similar that happened to us when we were kids.
Excellent. Fabulous. Dorai seems to calm a little bit when she realizes that this is less of an interrogation and that you're more just dotting I's and crossing T's and making sure that genuinely curious, exactly, and that with a little bit of a personal connection. So she feels a little... She calms down a little bit. You notice that her body language calms down a little bit.
Ocean can be taught.
As chief science officer, you would be familiar with Lieutenant Dorai. So Lieutenant Dorai, with Ocean's help and some other security personnel, begin bringing four or five crates of basically archaeological materia into the science stations with the intention of basically running them through the computers to go ahead and try to make some sense of them. She basically relays the same story that she relayed to Ocean. Found this archaeological information. We don't have any idea what's going on. This seemed to be... Can't even say that it was the most interesting stuff that was there. It was just the stuff that we could for sure fit in the crates that we brought, and trying to go ahead and see what we can learn about a civilization that was thousands of years old.
I'll, of course, give my greetings to Lieutenant Dory and help bring things in as needed, and then get to work sorting things as they come in.
In the crates, you'll find basically like broken stone tablets, remnants of what might be one really large tapestry or several smaller tapestries. A lot of what is on the tapestry, there are like unknown alien glyphs that don't seem to be scanning properly by any sort of universal translator, and seems to be a bunch of like crude figurines in classic era style, Greek or Roman style armor. So like chest plates and leg guards, stuff like that. Most of them aren't wearing like helmets or visors or anything like that. They're carrying rudimentary medieval type weaponry, so spears and swords, stuff like that. And definitely seems to be depicting some sort of a battle in the fragments that you can see. And the thing that sort of stands out to you as you're looking at this is that in some of the scenes that you find on this tapestry, there would be like a group of figures standing around one figure, and that figure is depicted with like bright blue eyes. And then let's see what else. There are both scans and rubbings of like stone tablets that again seem to be written in similar language, like similar glyph styles that you find on that tapestry. And then others that are written in something that is not anywhere near, some like totally different. Dori will point that out too, that these were all together, but it definitely seems like two different things. And the computer couldn't find any kind of matching patterns between them. They seem to be totally disparate. So I brought back samples of both to see if we could go ahead and determine why that is. Other things that are in the crates are like bone flutes and drums and things like that, like instruments, musical type instruments, and also crude surgical instruments like hammers and saws and pokey proddy things. The other kind of really interesting thing that Dori seems excited about is a vast array of jewelry, rings and pendants, and it might be like earrings or some sort of head decoration. And why Dori is so excited about it is that a lot of it seems to have very similar iconography that look to her like eyes, and that they are normally gem encrusted. So there are various colored stones on that jewelry. So a lot of reds and blacks and yellows and greens and stuff like that.
Definitely a lot to go through.
I know. Thankfully, we have a long journey. We have plenty of time to go ahead and scan this in. And she begins running like the science scanner over it and reproducing 3D images of it, and trying to go ahead and just scan it into the computer. Mr. Najjar, do you dally or in any way travel circumspect manner to Captain Tolor's ready room?
Not in the slightest.
Fabulous. All right. Then, Tobor, your door chime goes off, and...
In fact, the security officers escorting me are probably struggling a tad to keep up.
Fair enough. All right.
Enter. And, of course, the first thing Najjar notices is that the ready room is an immaculate, Vulcan-like precision arrangement and cleanliness. And above and behind Tobor's shoulder, you see his framed Medal of Distinction for Diplomacy and like all of his award and merits that are there, that weren't there the last time you were in his ready room.
Because you were putting on the show. So he'll blink a little bit and look around as he steps in, but then he'll mask it. Reporting as ordered, Captain?
Please have a seat.
Najjar goes over and sits down.
And the first thing you notice is that they're like emotionally emanating off of Tobor is seething rage.
Okay. He seems a little taken aback by that. And Tobor might notice that his eyes darken if it's that intensive of an emotion, because his eyes normally look human. But when something powerfully emotional is going on, they tend to darken into the Betazoid black.
And you're not entirely sure what is the cause of it, but that is, it's like a wall. It's like a, if you're ever inside a air-conditioned room and then you step out and it's like a 40-degree temperature difference to the outside.
Right. And you're not trying to hide it from me because since the moment I met you, you tended to guard your emotions around me.
Yeah. And you get that this is actually, and if you have a little bit more, this is what is leaking through his control.
Oh, okay. So it seems like you're trying to hold it back and it's just leaking through. Okay, that's different then. All right. As Najjar sits down, he sits up straight, but he looks you right in the eye and says, "Something happened, Captain? Is everything okay?"
We'll have to get you caught up on what's going on, but I wanted to get your debrief report on what happened on Tethys as soon as possible.
Understood, sir. The audio log that I filed before going away on this mission contained my statement as to how things went down in the transporter room, sir. Do you have further questions?
We'll get to that. I saw what Damon Brazig sent us, but I want the full timeline of what happened when to those colonists and what data you were able to scrub from their computer systems so that we can start matching which bodies we recovered, which ones we haven't, so we can start getting that information into the intelligence database.
There were no computer systems, sir. There was no sign of advanced life on Tethys at all. If they had been there with colonists, they took everything with them. The only thing that we found, Lieutenant Dorai from the science team noticed some ruins and artifacts that led to a little bit more investigation and the discovery of what looks like an ancient civilization on Tethys, but there was no signs of modern life, nor any signs of the parasites or their strange eggs.
Now, this ancient civilization, did it appear to have any relationship to the Epsilon creatures?
Lieutenant Dorai seemed very excited about a gem-encrusted eye motif throughout the iconography, and I believe Blue was heavily involved, but I did not specifically tie it to them.
I see. Because, Josh, there was a colony on Tethys, right?
There may have been previously, but where they were investigating...
Because Brazig sent us, like, pictures of dead bodies and all kinds of stuff. Or at least that's my recollection at the end of last season.
There had been a colony, but as Glenn reported, like anything of any use from like technology or anything like that had been removed. There were dead bodies, but they did not show that they were infected by the parasites. The colony was basically empty at that point. That if there had been anything there, that they had, with everything going on, they had basically picked up stakes and GTFO.
Then to abridge and say it again, they didn't leave anything behind but bodies and rubbish, sir. There were no computer systems. There were no even intact components that would be salvageable if we were in that business. They picked up everything of value and left with it. But Lieutenant Dorai did discover, it wasn't a total loss, Lieutenant Dorai did discover signs of an ancient civilization and brought back several artifacts from it.
I'm sure the scientists will be appreciative of that fact. That's unfortunate. I was hoping you would discover some sort of clue as to what the creatures were looking for aboard my ship, since we weren't able to successfully capture any of them alive, nor did any of their hosts survive. So we're back to square one.
Najjar can feel it, but he's just looking back at you. And
the
then,
commander and I have reviewed the logs.
After a moment while you're saying that, he says, "I'm sorry, sir, I don't mean to interrupt. Did you say the hosts didn't survive?"
"That's correct. Sometime between us evacuating them into the containment areas, into sick bay, they expired."
"Because the settings that me and my security team were using were the settings that we discussed to make sure we could, I know we're working off of old data that we have very little of, to stun the entities enough to stop them. I didn't expect them to come out of the host. I was hoping to have stunned the creatures as well, I'm going to be honest."
"And there has been some theorization amongst those of us involved in the Epsilon project that these creatures have the ability to essentially leave poison their host as a spite thing when they leave, because we've been wholly unsuccessful in extracting the few specimens successfully.
So I didn't kill them?
Not to my knowledge.
Because those Klingons had no idea what was going on. It wasn't their fault.
No, our sites are so insidious.
Your assertion, Tobor, would be backed up by what you discovered, that they clearly had phaser wounds on them. You would have been surprised if the phaser wounds were sufficient to have killed them.
So we had discussed that the setting was high enough. It had to be higher than a normal stun setting for a Klingon in order to incapacitate the parasite. So they were going to take some phaser burn, but it shouldn't have been lethal.
Yep.
he still looks a little bit worried, but Najar does look a little relieved, and he sighs. Okay, that's a relief, because I'll kill if I have to, sir, but...
Well, that's something else I need to discuss with you, Mr. Najar. Because I've reviewed the logs. It appeared the transporter safety protocols were in effect and active, correct? They appeared Indeed. On the transporter pads without weapons, as they've been dematerialized and shunted off, correct?
Indeed.
And without warning, without an order to surrender or stand down, you shot them.
Jar sits back in his chair a little bit.
Now, a particularly pernicious judge advocate general could make a case that that was unwarranted.
There is... May I reply, sir?
You may.
There is an advocate or a judge general that could make an argument for just about anything. But in terms of whether or not that argument could be plausible, I disagree. We had discussed already on the bridge the dangers of what we feared this species was, and it turns out there was an entire protocol built into our ship for it. We were already allowing them... May I speak freely, sir?
You may.
We were already allowing them on our ship, against all of my instincts, which I attempted to speak to you about on the bridge, but I still followed orders to the letter, to include discussing how we were going to be setting our phaser settings to ensure that we incapacitated them without killing the hosts. And I arrayed my team with the specific orders. And if this is inappropriate under your service, sir, then I'm going to suggest you find a new chief of security. But knowing that we were not using lethal force, if there is any sign of double cross or any sign of ambush, that we would simply fire, stun them, and sort it out afterwards.
Which is the reason why you're here in my ready room and not in the brig.
He looks a little bit relieved again and says, understood, sir.
But in
I also would have loved to have captured one of the parasites alive, but my God, sir, you said you reviewed the security logs. Did you see how fast they moved once they got out of the host? I was totally unprepared for that. There was barely a second, and one of them was already trying to send itself down one of my officer's throats. I had to rip it off of his face with my hands. And he actually is shaking a little bit as he's going through it. He's like, I wasn't sure that we were going to get out of there without them getting loose on the ship and the ship becoming infected. But I stand by every decision I made.
Very good. I know it went against all of your instincts to put the Dilemmas Christian at risk, because it is your job to protect the ship, where it is my job to protect the Federation. That means hazarding this ship in order to find out the agenda of these creatures, which we had and still have very little understanding of what they want, what they're after. There was something on this ship that was so important to them that they willingly let me blow up two of them to get individuals on board.
Have we figured out what that is yet, sir?
Not yet. Which is why you're going to become one of the most unpopular members of this crew as we tear this ship apart. Looking for what that is.
Understood. And he's looking thoughtful and just down and around a little bit as his investigative brain starts automatically chewing on it in the background of, okay, what are these creatures? What do I know about them? What would they be interested in? Yeah. He's still listening, but you can see the gears have started to turn.
More importantly, a thing that my colleagues, you get another spike of frustrated irritation, tend to forget is that these creatures are highly intelligent and otherwise would be warranting rights under the Federation Charter.
But they're singularly driven.
Yes.
The way that they respond, the way that they responded and the way that they reacted when they left their hosts, there wasn't, in my opinion, and I've met a lot of species, but there wasn't anything beyond a primal urge to find another host and continue to replicate in their actions once they left the bodies. They seem, honestly, sir, they seem like the Borg. They're almost emotionless.
And that was another missed opportunity that I wish we had been able to capture, is you getting a read of what the creature's emotions are like. But I saw everything happen too quickly.
As much as I was able to get at that point, sir, was that there wasn't any emotion beyond a need to fulfill. It was primal.
I put you in a difficult position, Najjar. This is your first command as a chief of security. You've spent most of your young career training for this Epsilon threat, and then to be face to face with it. You reacted, not unwarranted, but you reacted and did not, instead of consciously acting. And this time it worked out, but in the future, when we face these creatures again, we cannot allow fear and paranoia to drive our decisions. Violence may, in fact, be the correct course of action, but it needs to be deliberate and active.
Sir, I know we've only worked together for a short time, but again, I know you watched the security logs. Did I seem to be reacting emotionally or out of control to you? Every decision that I made was thought out, but you were correct. Our perspectives on the encounter were different. I was focusing on protecting my ship and my crew, and I do understand the greater obligation that you're explaining to me. What I can tell you is that next time I'm in that situation, I will try to think differently. But I always think.
I understand, and I'm sure, again, I'm not telepathic, but I can imagine that when you saw five individuals materialize instead of one, you shot first instead of asking questions, which is a good instinct. But a question or two could have been super helpful.
The additional bodies that they piggybacked weren't under the constraints of our transporters, Captain. There was no way to know whether or not any of those extra bodies were going to be carrying weapons. If I had hesitated for even a moment, this ship could have been overtaken, which is what they wanted. Again, if you feel that I should have acted differently, I will attempt to think differently in the future, but...
I wasn't there. You were. And I still trust your judgment.
Thank you, sir. But I do also know that I have a lot to learn. And I had not considered, as I said, at all, the greater obligation to Starfleet. And honestly, all of the races that we know should these things truly be able to replicate. And I will think differently in the future.
Because I know that I have a unique perspective, having worked with the Commodore, my previous host, and now in this one again. I have a different perspective, and I understand the stakes a lot better than most. There's a reason why the Epsilon Project only uses Nova-class and Saber-class ships. Because Starfleet Command has decided and determined that the loss of a crew of 45 is acceptable in dealing with these creatures.
It also makes sense, sir, in terms of screening and any opportunity to detect infestation. The smaller the crew, the smaller the number of subjects. It makes a lot of sense all the way around, even though it is all for reasons that are alarming.
So, let's try not to give Tanari anything to be even more paranoid about.
Not sure that's possible, sir.
But I want you, as the tip of the spear of the Dalamis Christian, need to know the stakes we are facing. Because it's been theoretical until now. Now it's
understood. Understood. I was there on the bridge with you, sir, when I said I'm not sure those are Klingons. It was surreal.
No, I knew they weren't Klingons the moment they started not acting like them. Get settled in. I know it's been a while since you've been with us. Your deputy chief is taking good care of everything in the meantime. But I know you want to check in, and we'll convene the senior staff tomorrow morning.
Absolutely, sir. I'll basically just drop my stuff, my belongings at my rack, check in with my team, and immediately get to researching anything I can come up with for what they may be interested in on this ship.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Najjar. You may go.
Captain, thank you. Salutes and leaves.
So, gentlemen, that was excellent. I would like you please to tell me if either of your characters have a value that supports the position that you took in that argument or discussion. I won't call it an argument. It was a discussion.
I mean, one of my main values is the galaxy is a dangerous place. Mm-hmm. And Starfleet is more than the uniform.
Making sure you have the right people in place. Yep.
My applicable value, and yes, it is what I was acting from even at the time and the whole time we were working through building up the team for it, was my ship is my home and I am responsible for the safety of everyone aboard it.
Excellent. Both of you get a bonus determination for the rest of the episode. Do you want early access to every Tabletop Journeys episode? How about exclusive content, live broadcasts, and the chance to throw dice with your favorite hosts and fellow fans? Or, heck, do you just want to support the show? Join our Patreon today at www.patreon.com/ttjourneys. We have tiers to fit any budget for a monthly commitment, or you can make a one-time contribution to the cause. We love doing the show for y'all, and support helps us keep creating and producing great content for you. So join us today at www.patreon.com/ttjourneys. Narila, you and Dorai have been working through the artifacts that you've been witnessing here. I wanted you to have the opportunity to ask any questions, any clarifying questions about what you are seeing, and potentially make roles to go ahead and make connections if you wish to do so.
My first question is concerning the tapestry, or possibly multiple tapestries. But you mentioned that there's a bright blue-eyed figure with some figures around him.
Correct.
On the tapestry, is he the only blue-eyed figure, or are there multiple blue-eyed figures?
There are multiple blue-eyed figures. However, every time a blue-eyed figure appears, it is the same sort of thing where they are surrounded. They are like encircled by other people. And it's almost, imagine that the tapestry was a roll of film, kind of depicting scenes as it moved from one side to the other. And so you see a blue-eyed person surrounded in a group of person, and then in the next part of the scene, same person, no blue eyes, and joining the circle, so to speak, and that sort of thing.
So we can tell it's a possibly a different person by like the other like clothing or maybe hair and things like that. So it's like the eyes are moving between people.
No, not so much that the eyes. It's more that the person has blue eyes and then doesn't have blue eyes.
Okay.
Excellent question, though. And an important clarification.
Interesting. You said there's two different styles of unknown glyphs?
On the, or are there multiple? Yeah. Nope, two in particular, and they seem wildly disparate. As far as you can tell, if you had any sort of talent or anything of ancient languages or anything like that that would come into play, we could maybe let you roll. But as far as you can tell, it is two. And they are wildly different.
Is there anything besides glyphs on these tablets? Imagery of any sort? Or are the tablets, are they colored in any way? Different, like maybe different materials?
Similar material, which Dorai, as you're looking at that, she would say, yeah, this sort of slate material is very common in the area that we were excavating. Seems like they just went to their natural environment to recover these. It's they're not colored now, and it's impossible to tell if they were colored at one point. So could they have been? Could there have been pigment applied to them? Entirely possible, but they're really old, so there's really no direct visual evidence of that happening. But they do seem to be writing, as much as you can tell. There doesn't seem to be any sort of pictographs or any sort of pictures. They do seem to be writing. And while the language is wildly different, it seems to have the same characteristics of what a language would look like, right? Written on lines, probably goes one direction or the other, kind of either left or right or up or down, or how you orient the tablet. It's tough to go ahead and say what's the proper orientation on the tablet, but it does seem like writing, and it seems to be organized in the way that written language would be.
Do the materials seem to be of similar ages and wear?
Dorai will report that they were found like in the same archaeological site. So it's like they were like interspersed together.
And then my last question is about the jewelry. And you said there is icons of eyes that are jeweled. Are they mostly blue or are they in various colors?
Ah, an excellent question. There are no blue jewels on the jewelry.
Okay. I think I have to mull over some of that information.
Fabulous.
But I will share it with Tanari next time I see him.
You can certainly go. Yeah. Yeah.
Good collaboration last time. It feels like a good idea to.
Sure. You could certainly call him to the science stations that you're using now to go ahead and have that communication. That's if Tanari can determine whether or not he is too busy to go ahead and take your call or not. But it's a small ship. There's only 45 of you, right? You can certainly have that conversation with him now if you'd like.
Sure. I'll make a call and request when he has time to come visit.
I think I can certainly make time to head down to the science lab.
You are there.
All right. So I'll... Sorry.
Oh, no, I was going to say, Sonari, you haven't seen these yet, but again, you walk into the science office and you basically see, at this point, what's probably several open crates with various artifacts strewn on tables and science personnel scanning them in with, like, hand scanners and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I'll give you a brief rundown of what's going on. These recently came in from Lieutenant Najjar's recent expedition, and he recently arrived. I haven't personally seen him yet, but I'll point out some of the things that I noticed on these, getting right to business. And I'll share about the tapestries, the eyes, the how it seems that the figure is going blue eye to not blue eye. Not sure if any of this means anything to you, but I thought I would bring you in so you could take a look as well.
Well, I appreciate it. I don't know if I have any theories yet. I can certainly help you work up, get some scanners going, see if we can't scan the relative ages of these things.
I think that would be great. Relative ages is definitely something that I'm thinking about as I'm looking at some of these, and I'll point out the different glyphs styles.
Mm-hmm.
Especially these.
Do you know if the field team tried to run these through the universal translator?
I believe they did, and it was unsuccessful. They're unknown.
Lieutenant Dorai will raise her hand. Tanari, yeah, of course we tried, but the universal translator came up blank. I think that the field units just weren't powerful enough to determine what these were. We're not even sure what the orientation on these tablets are. It didn't really pop anything up. That's why we brought it aboard to try to see if we could figure this out.
Let me hook you up with the main computer, see if we can get you a little more power to that.
Yeah, okay.
Worst comes to worst, more power. That usually helps. Yeah,
that's it. I've heard that you're a very powerful man. that'd be fabulous, yeah.
Let me see if I can't get an engineering team to help you out. Set you up with some of the scanners and hook you up to the main computer, get you some main computer time.
Tanari, what is your insight score?
My insight is a 9.
There's a 9. I would like you, please, to roll me a 1 difficulty task using insight and some other attribute. Something about this feels familiar, and I'm trying to go ahead and see if in Tanari's daring brain that it's a...
Would this be, considering where we are, would it be maybe insight science?
Sure. I say insight science.
All right, so that is a 12.
Mm-hmm.
I got a 12 and an 18, so that is one success.
One success by the skin of your teeth, exactly, yeah. Yep. Cool, excellent. So there's something about the blue eye motif that you're seeing in the tapestry that feels familiar. It's reminding you of when you were on the asteroid with the Breen. At the very end of that mission, remember, there had been several prisoners in the base of the asteroid, and there were several who, at that moment, had like blue globes for their eyes instead of eyes. And the judgment at that point had been that they had undergone some sort of torture or something, that the Breen had done something to them in violation of numerous treaties and accords. So you remember that kind of like after you put it out of your head for a little bit, and then you remember that at one point, like in the middle of the night, you're trying to sleep or whatever like that. You're just like, you know what? I'm going to like look up and see. You sent them off to Starfleet Medical to be examined and blah, blah, blah. You looked up to go ahead and see what happened to them and noticed that all of them, there were three of them that had this blue globey eye thing. All three of them recovered fully within a few weeks of being returned to Starfleet Medical. Something about the tapestry is to remind it, you makes that connection for you.
Okay, so while I'm there in the science lab, pull up the file on these three individuals.
Sure, yeah.
And point it out and explain this to both Narilla and Dorai.
Yep.
See if they can see what they think of it as well. And explain to them the context behind it, where I saw this.
Yep. So explain the context, because Narilla, okay, having not been on the episode, right, have at it. Explain the context, yeah. How would Tanari explain the context? Yes. Yeah.
There was a situation a few months back. It would be a few months, correct?
Probably closer to a year, because there was a big time gap between. There was a time gap for a while when Narilla came on, so within the last year, but probably on the long side of it.
About a year back, we were investigating some anomalies. We discovered that the Breen were playing around with some subspace conduits. And then, so we sent an away team, including myself, Commander Ocean, Commander Najar, and Science Officer Alik Ohm, to go investigate. We discovered that, like I said, the Breen were using them to kidnap ships. We wound up strapped to one of their cruisers and then taken to an asteroid where it looked like they were having some kind of mining operation for some sort of, I believe it was a subspace ore. I'm trying to remember this from a year ago. We had a big fight in order to get us and the prisoners that the Breen had taken out of there. And we did manage to get out with the prisoners. We found these three in particular who had apparently this sort of blue orb eye effect. And I didn't think anything of it. We didn't have any context for it at the time. They went to Starfleet Medical and I looked it up a little later. And apparently within a few weeks, 3 weeks, they had recovered completely.
Were these three prisoners the only ones you saw with the orb eyes?
Yes, they were.
That's interesting. I wonder what caused it. It must be something that they were exposed to if they recovered.
Again, the Breen were mining some sort of, and Josh, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but they were mining some sort of subspace ore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if maybe that had something to do with it. Not being on Tethys, I can't say whether that planet has anything similar to this. But we know the Epsilon parasites are attracted to subspace anomalies, which now I'm wondering, are the Breen having a problem with them? Although considering the Breen walk around in full body environment suits all the time, they're not exactly the easiest species for these parasites to take over, considering they like to climb in through the mouth.
There could still be a connection, though. Do you think we should share this with the commander?
Oh, most definitely. This kind of information, these kind of connections, we need to spread around the command crew.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps we ought to call the commander down, let him take a look at this himself.
That's a good idea, a good plan.
Maybe Lieutenant Najar as well, since he was there. I'll go ahead and tap my comm badge. Commander Sabian.
Go for Sabian.
This is Lieutenant Tanari down in the science lab. Lieutenant Narilla and I have something we'd like you to take a look at, and quite possibly Lieutenant Najjar as well. There may be a connection between what happened at Tethys and what happened on the Breen asteroid.
Really? Very good. I will be down shortly. I tap my badge. Commander Chizaror, Lieutenant Najjar, please meet me in the science lab.
One other question. Is Lieutenant Alik Ohm still on board?
No, he was transferred over to Aslan Station to continue his subspace research into the ore stuff that we had found.
Okay. That's too bad. I would have liked to have gotten his input on this as well.
Najjar, Ocean, do you guys make your way to the science lab?
Of course. Najjar sighs a little bit because he'd made it through dropping his stuff off. He just finished checking in with his team and had barely made it out of that office to go start working on the new mission the commander had given him, and changes direction and heads towards science.
No rest for the weary.
Glenn, the information that you shared with the commander about your empath read on the infected Klingons, has that been made apparent? Have you shared, is that now in a report?
The specific part about once they left the Klingons, because that's when...
No, the phrase that you had said, that they didn't really have any emotions, they just had a primal need.
The Klingons were very emotionally repressed.
Yes.
And I think that was the emotions of the Klingon being repressed by the parasite. But once the parasite was free of the Klingon body, that's when the primal need came. And that was a primal need to get into another body or find a way to escape here so it could get into another body, and that's all that was coming off of it.
All right, okay. Cool. Thanks for the clarification.
But in answer to your question, yes, anything, even from his emotional extra senses that Najjar feels is important and related, he puts in his reports. So you would know this.
You all converge on the science department. Tanari, I'm assuming you and Narilla basically relay all the information. Consider you all caught up.
Yeah, and I'll put up some visuals of those three aliens from the asteroid with the blue eyes, and have next to it some pictures of the tapestry.
Well, that is.
How artistic, Najjar, Ocean, and Tobar? How much artistry or appreciation for the arts do you have?
I have focus art.
Yeah, Najjar, you definitely see. Oh, yeah, no, totally. Like blue eye, blue. Yep, totally. Yep. Absolutely. You can definitely see why the connection is being there.
See that connection because I don't?
It's not that you don't see the connection. It's more just like a little bit more tenuous. Like you believe them that they see the connection.
Trying to understand. Yeah. I don't have a huge interest in art. So does that mean that I do or do not see the connection?
It's maybe a little bit more tenuous for you. Here's the question. Would you, if Tanari said, hey, look at this tapestry and look at these three aliens. They all had blue eyes. How would you feel about that connection? You tell me.
Fair enough. One baby in four has blue eyes. Heck, more, because most babies start with blue eyes and then they change colors before they hit 2 years of age. That seems a little tenuous. These were in totally different quadrants, weren't they?
Are we sure that's the order?
The unusual thing is I checked in with Starfleet Medical about 3 weeks later. Apparently, and I'll flip up a picture of these aliens after the recovery, and their eyes went back to normal.
And they made a full recovery?
Yes.
Our medical scans said they were effectively brain dead.
Yep.
That's weird.
Perhaps it was prolonged exposure to whatever it is that they mined on that asteroid.
Now I wish we had been able to scan them with Tanari's new tricorder at the time, instead of just regular medical tricorders.
Yeah, I know. Could it be the brain are having a problem with the Epsilon parasites as well?
Sure hope not.
On the one hand, I wouldn't lose any sleep over that, but on the other hand, I'm going to lose a lot of sleep over that now that you've said it.
I can't think of a race that would be more difficult for them, considering they walk around in full environment suits.
Not all the time. No one can tell who is and isn't infected.
That's
hard to
true.
See the back of someone's neck if you're in an environmental suit.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of, does anybody know if plans for Lieutenant Narilla's and Lieutenant Tanari's device to be replicated and distributed to all allies and sentient races of the Federation?
Well, the designs and everything have been transmitted back to Aslan Station to set up a manufacturing facility still within the Epsilon protocol containment, because we don't want to start handing out new tricorders, because then we have to tell people what we're having them scan for. And that's,
that's kind of my point,
a can of worms.
Shouldn't we as Federation and the Starfleet be obligated to make sure that the members of the Federation know that they could be being infiltrated by these things?
Command has deemed the risk of panic and paranoia to be greater than the threat posed at this time.
Glad I don't have to make those kinds of decisions.
That's why they pay Pritchard the big bucks.
Indeed.
With that, we'll bring Act 1 to a close.
Next time on Star Trek Preservations.
My first question is concerning the tapestry. But you mentioned that there's a bright blue-eyed figure with some figures around him.
Correct. Tanari, you haven't seen these yet, but again, you walk into the science office and you basically see, at this point, what's probably several open crates with various artifacts strewn on tables and science personnel scanning them in with, like, hand scanners and stuff like that.
This is Lieutenant Tanari down in the science lab. Lieutenant Narilla and I have something we'd like you to take a look at, and quite possibly Lieutenant Najar as well. There may be a connection between what happened at Tethys and what happened on the Breen asteroid.
Really?